Hello, everyone, and thanks so much for tuning into the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder, author of Getting Better When You Can't. This is a podcast that's designed to help you see beyond everything. I believe you'll find the content interesting, engaging, and even life-changing. Please check out my website at www.kevinwinder.com and be sure to sign up for my weekly newsletter entitled Winder's Windshield. Thanks so much for tuning in, and now on to the KevCast. Hi, everyone. Thanks so much for coming back to another episode of the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder, and welcome back. I'm happy to be here, and I'm kind of excited about the topic. I do get some occasional feedback that says, hey, Kev, I'd love it if you spend a little more time talking about the Bible, doing a study or something like that. And so I thought today, because I'm in between series and I've got these great topics, you know, I've been studying and spending some time in the book of John, and something jumped out of me this month that I've shared with a number of my friends. And I decided, you know, I really just need to share this with the rest of the group. And as it is with so many Bible stories, it's easy to just turn off and say, oh, I've heard that before. And just like you, I've heard so many sermons and lessons and Bible studies and teachings on so many different parts of the Bible that you kind of get to the place where you think you know it. Well, today's lesson comes from the book of John in the 5th chapter. And I have read or heard this particular story, I'm not exaggerating, at least 100 times, if not more, before I saw in it or understood in it what I'm going to share with you today. So get ready for a sermon. And this is going to be a sermon that you are not likely to hear from your corner church. Okay? So John chapter 5 is where the story takes place, and it tells us about this mystical pool of water that's in Jerusalem, and it's called Bethesda. It was believed that if the waters in this pool became stirred up, rippled or waves or something like that, that that meant that the Spirit of God was moving, and the first person to get into the pool while the waters were stirred up, they would be the ones to receive healing. Remember this story? Well, we need to understand something here first. Healing is synonymous with liberation. It always is. Healing and liberation are the same thing. Healing is simply a form of liberation. And liberation is the bigger category. And this is a window into understanding something more in this story. So the invalid that is sitting by the pool of water is unable to walk, obviously, and he has been there for 38 years. And Jesus comes over to him and says, hey, do you want to be healed? And of course the guy says, yes, I'd love to be healed. But he begins to kind of explain to Jesus that, look, I don't have anybody to help me into the water. And as soon as the waters get stirred up, somebody else jumps in before me. And, you know, I've heard this taught a number of different ways. And one of the ways is that these are just excuses, that this man is not even really wanting to be healed in the first place. And that's why Jesus asked him the question. That may be true, but let's think about it for a second. Honestly, this guy is an invalid. How is he going to get the help to move in there? Well, obviously, he'd have to, you know, corral people to carry him. And then they'd have to say, next time the water's stirred, this guy gets in and nobody else. And so there is some aspect of the victim mentality that this guy is bringing to bear here. And they may be excuses, but, you know, they are his imprisoned reality regardless. And that's an important point here. His excuses are an aspect of his imprisoned reality. And keep that in mind, okay? Now, I think religion has created a reality just like that of the invalid. You see, religion sits by the pool where magical stuff is supposed to happen. But for many, it never delivers. It just doles out hope via its programs, and it just repeats the same old process over and over. Now, that's not to say that everybody plugged into these systems is not connected at all. That is not the case. But we find so often is the case is that many within these systems, religious systems, and all denominations and all religions certainly, are there basically going through the motions. And of course, that can extend out beyond religion into our other groups and communities and engagements of business and arts and sports and academics and so forth. Now, Jesus drops a nuclear bomb in order to alter this invalid's reality. And this is really amazing. He tells the man who can't move himself, says, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. Now, most sermons stop right here, and they celebrate that Jesus healed the man. Now, that's not bad to end the story there. I mean, it's great. You know, Jesus healed a man. He told him, get up and carry your mat and walk. That's great. He healed him. But let's consider what Jesus is actually saying when he says that. You see, it was the Jewish Sabbath. He's right in Jerusalem in the shadow of the temple. Now, keeping the religious day holy, that meant not working. That meant not working. And carrying a bed mat around was work. And so was walking around. I mean, they had rules that said you couldn't walk too far, otherwise it would be considered a stress or a journey, or it would be work. And so to keep the day holy, they had all of these rules so that they would not violate one of the Ten Commandments. And Jesus was literally saying to this man, your healing or your liberation comes by breaking the Ten Commandments. Jesus' commandment overrides the Ten Commandment. Do you see that? He's telling him, don't worry about the fact that it's the Sabbath. Don't worry about all the religious people. I want you to pick up your mat and go walking. Now that is amazing. Now, in fact, the Bible tells us that Jesus' message and a lot of the subsequent liberation that he's offering to people in their stories, go and check just how many of those happen on the Sabbath. Go and see how many times he is breaking the Sabbath. His disciples are breaking the Sabbath. And this is really, really important, because this is because he claims to be the Lord of the Sabbath, as in Mark chapter 2, verse 28. In other words, Jesus is saying that he is that thing that is beyond all the ritual, is beyond all the dogma, all the religious practice. He is the actual liberty that all religion is supposed to provide but never does. He is liberation from religion by relating to an ultimate reality through faith, not through rules, not through dogma and doctrine and practice, but through faith. He is that thing that is beyond all things. Now, sadly, our world is kind of caught up in the things, right? The scaffolding that holds up the building. We get really caught up in our buildings and our scaffoldings, the things that prop up our support structures. Religious leaders are caught up in their things, their buildings, their staff, their budgets, their plans, their programs, their doctrine. You know, and most are struggling to get by. And I think Jesus is asking them today, do you want to be healed? You see, lawbreakers experience a liberty that law abiders can't possess. And I know that is a heavy statement, so I'll say it twice. Then I'm going to come back to it in a minute. But lawbreakers experience a liberty that abiders can't possess. Now, the invalid in this story parades around on the Sabbath with his bed in. He's the talk of the town, right? I mean, if you've got somebody out in the open, happy, thrilled, giddy, 38 years sitting by a pool hoping to get healed and is now healed, and guess what he's doing? He's carrying his mat and probably frolicking around and talking and doing all kinds of sins. And you see, this open violations of the law, they are not good for a system that uses fear for behavior modification. So a fear culture does not tolerate breaking the rules at any level. You see, the loss of fear on the part of the invalid is the loss of power of the structure. And Jesus knows that. And so what's a system to do? You know, what is a religion to do? What is a community to do? What is a government to do? Well, they all diminish the invalid, the one who has found freedom to break the rules because they subscribe to something beyond it is the one who's the outcast. That's the one that they cast the doubt on, and they did with this invalid. Who healed you? Right? When there was a blind man that was healed, they wondered if he was even the same blind man. They had to cast doubt on Jesus' healing. They always cast doubt on the liberty. And they ultimately squash anyone who subscribes to a reality that is beyond that of the institution. It happens every time. It's textbook. Those in power love to define reality for others. They do not like others creating a reality that is outside or beyond their own definitions. That's the definition of fundamentalism in any sphere, be it religion or otherwise. Now, later, Jesus catches up to this guy and he says, "Hey, man, I see you're well. I want you to sin no more so that nothing worse will happen to you." And all my life, I always thought that this meant that his sin caused him to become an invalid, and that if he sins again, he's probably going to have something worse happen to him. I just missed this. And if you've thought that, then pay attention, because this is not saying that. I'm almost 100% sure. You see, what he was saying is that this man's freedom, which was expressed by his present sin of violating the Sabbath, would get him killed by the religious elite. And so Jesus is kind of nod, nod, wink, wink, saying, "Hey, man, why don't you just put the mat down for a bit so that these guys don't come and just ruin your life?" You see that? There is a tremendous compassion in this, not a threat. And the sin is obviously kind of understood in the sense that he knows that he's violating the Ten Commandments. Jesus has been doing it all along as well, and it's okay. So in this case, even the lawbreaker now has to abide by at least one law. And that's an important point. You see, healing and or liberation, that's the heart of the gospel. If you read Isaiah 61, chapter verse 1, or Luke chapter 4, verse 18, where Jesus is quoting Isaiah 61, verse 1, you learn that the gospel is the liberation of the captive. It's the opening of the prison door. And you see, our world is full of systems, religious and otherwise. Like I said, academics and science and sports and business and the arts. These are all institutions, just like religions, and they function just like a religion. They have innies and outies, and those who are valid and those who are invalid. And they have all kinds of systems and rules to get you to feel empowered if you subscribe to their leadership. You see, the world is full of these systems, And they all imprison us. And they imprison us because they pit us against each other. They take the insiders and pit them against the outsiders and create straw man arguments. And they do this because it empowers the system to have an adversary. And it erodes our humanity. And Jesus comes into this situation, and he's the archetype. He's the model that emulates how do we handle these kinds of things. And he just undermines the whole thing. No wonder they thought he was such a rebel. You see, the gospel of liberation is not a world with no rules, but it's a world governed by one rule, and that's the rule of love. So if we think we have God within our highly structured and organized and dogmatic containment system, then we have a religion, but we don't have God. If we fear to leave that system in our search for God, we have become the invalid by the pool. If you fear to leave the system, see, I know, I get your emails, and I know you are out there, and so many of you are really questioning whether your church is a worthwhile endeavor for you. Many of you are wondering, man, I'm not buying it, and I don't know what else to do. Where do I go from here? As soon as I even talk about leaving, they start to relegate me to the sidelines. They diminish me. They think I'm slipping. I'm losing my faith. I'm going off the deep end. I become marginalized. Yes, that is true. If you fear to leave a system that will govern you and keep you in by fear, because what you're really seeking is God or liberty, then you've become the invalid. Liberty is the ability to see on an entirely different level. It's called awareness. It's called higher consciousness, right? Jesus said, you must have eyes to see and ears to hear, which means we have to perceive the difference between the essence of something and its container. Now, you can belong to a container and completely capture the essence. If you can separate the container from its essence, then it is good and helpful, perhaps, for you to be a part of a system, any kind of system. But if you cannot separate the essence from its container, and you spend your energy defending and shoring up and building the walls and the scaffolding, then you don't have what you think you have. And this is true of all religions. This is true of academics. This is true of the arts, of sports, of business. And this is why Jesus describes these systems as kingdoms. And the kingdoms of the world are the ones that cannot differentiate between the essence and the container. They can only see the things. They cannot see the things behind the things. And so this story shows us how liberation is being in or from such systems or kingdoms, but not of such a kingdom. And we all have these containers. The question is, will you be in or from the container, but not of the container? Thanks so much for joining the KevCast, where we learn to see beyond everything. I hope this content has helped you, and I'd love to hear from you if you have any questions or comments or feedback. Until next time, I hope you have an awesome day, and I can't wait to have you come back real soon.